Today's daf is Ksuvas Daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis. The entire daf today, from here until the Mishnah, is going to be six different cases or stories. I guess cases of people who have nechassim that they sold, and then the Baal Chov comes and tries to confiscate the nechassim. We have slight variations on the case. What if you sell something ba'achrayus, and then you're the one that goes and takes it and confiscates it yourself? Or you sell something shalom ba'achrayus, and you buy it back ba'achrayus, and then you're the one that goes and confiscates it yourself. Or it's your Baal Chov, rather, that comes and confiscates it. So is that achrayus still binding? Does the person have to reimburse you? We're going to talk about if the field gets confiscated before it was paid for. So what happens with that money, especially if there are yorshim involved now, where it's not the original owner? Or if a field gets resold to a third party, so who does the Baal Chov collect from? Does Baal Chov collect from the second party who bought the field, or the third party who bought the field? Meaning if there was, if party number two had bought several fields and resold one of them, does the Baal Chov have to go to the next person beyond the person who borrowed the money from him, or can he even go to the third guy who had since purchased the field? Namid Bezik Gemara is going to talk about if a Baal Chov tries to confiscate a field that Reuven had sold to Shimon, that Reuven can make him swear that he wasn't paid back yet. So meaning that he's actually entitled to confiscate the field, and then it's going to continue with the case where if a person sells a field that there's some tumult about whether he ever owned the field. So can the person who purchased the field say, you know what, I never wanted to get involved in something like this? That it's one thing you owe people money, there's a Baal Chov that he comes to collect from me, so that's what Achrayas Nechasim is all about. But over here, there's Orin claiming that you never even owned the field in the first place. That was never my intention to get involved, so can he back out of the entire Mechira in the first place in that situation? So again, it's going to be six different cases that we're going to have throughout the Daf, all about selling fields and whether the Baal Chov can come and collect from those fields. So we are holding out Hahu Gavra, about eight lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra Dizdavinug Ksubasa Di Ime B'Tovas Hana'a. A person sold his mother's ksuba for Tovas Hana'a. What exactly is the case of selling one's mother's ksuba for Tovas Hana'a? Two deos in Rashi. First day in Rashi is Shaisin Sula Acher. His mother was no longer married to his father. His mother was married to someone else. Umachra Ksubasa B'Chaye Baila. And he sells his ksuba while the husband is still alive. B'Tovasana B'Dover Mua. Tovasana means for a small amount of money. M'neshu Savik Shema Tamas V'Yerushana Baila. Because if the woman dies first, she's never going to see that ksuba. The ksuba is going to go to her husband anyway. And not only that, Afilu Yamuz Baila B'Chayeha. Even if the husband dies before the wife, and therefore the wife will get the ksuba, Shema Yamos HaBen B'Chayeha V'lo Tavaz Chos Liado. The son may predecease the mother, and then he will never be entitled to this money of the ksuba, because his whole rights to it is only B'Taras Yerusha from his mother. So if his stepfather dies and the ksuba goes to the mother, then his mother dies and he gets it, that's what he's selling, that chance that he might get it. Then lokeach baklum, the lokeach wouldn't get it if the son predeceases the mother. So that's the situation. He sold the betovas hana. That's one opinion in Rashi. The other day in Rashi is about four lines. Four lines get wide in Rashi. Lashon acher dezavna luksubasa dime betovas hana means sada sheyichid aviv liima luksubasa. A guy's father had designated a specific field to pay up the ksuba of his mother. Umeis, and then the father dies. V'naflu nechasim lefnezeh. So what happens when the father dies? There's a yoresh. This son that's involved right here is the one that is yoresh all of the properties of the father. V'kol zman shelo amda b'din im machra zeh hamechra kayim v'einu yochel achzar. And so long as there has not been amda b'din to pay back the ksuba, whatever he sells in the father's estate is a valid sale, and he can't back out of the sale. Shari yoresh v'kol nechasim. He's the Yorish, they're all his properties. Ella shechayv lasis ksuba limo, but he still is obligated to pay his mother's ksuba kishetit ve'enu when she comes with a claim for the ksuba. Val sadazu shibuda mutal, and not only is there a general obligation to pay the ksuba, this specific field is there's a shibud on this specific field to pay the ksuba. And therefore, she has the rights to take it from the lokeach. But the way he arranged this sale of the field that's designated to pay his mother's ksuba is, I'm selling you this field that's worth $1,000, I'm going to sell it to you for $50. Because if my mother were to ever come and say that she wants this field, you'll have to give it to her, and I'm not guaranteeing that I'm going to pay you back. I'm not offering to pay you back. So it's a very risky investment for you. You're going to buy this field knowing full well that my mother has a right to collect it at any time, and if she does collect it at any time, you will not be reimbursed. So that's why it's B'tovas Hanai, he's selling it for a very small amount of money. So whatever the case may be, whether it's the first day in Rashi or the second day in Rashi, he's selling a field that for a very small amount of money that his mother has the rights to. And he says to him back in the Gemara, if my mother comes with a claim on this field, I'm not going to reimburse you. I'm not going to take care of you. There is no achrayus whatsoever on this field, and my mother has every right to come and to take it from you. But then, lucky for the purchaser, the mother dies, and she never had any irur on the field. She never came with any claim on that field. So the lokech thinks he's in the clear now. Now he has his field, and his investment is risk paid off. But now the son comes, the one who was the mocher, who was the original seller of the field, and says, well, I'm coming b'toras my mother. My mother was entitled to the field. I am her yoresh. So I am coming now as a representative of my mother, and I want the field back. And you have to give it back to me, and I don't have to reimburse you at all. Because remember I said, if my mother ever comes and takes this field, I don't have to pay you back. Well, I am now here coming as a representative of my mother. So I don't have to pay you, so I could get the field back, and I don't have to pay you back. Sava Rami Bar Chama Lameimar, Iu B'makom Ime Ka'i. Rami Bar Chama thought that maybe that's a valid thing to do, that the mocher is standing in the place of his mother, and therefore just as the mother was allowed to confiscate the field without any payback for the lokeach, so too the mocher, who is representing his own mother, is allowed to confiscate the field without paying back the lokeach at all. Amrle Rava, but Rava said to Rami Bar Chama, no, Nihida Achrayis Dida Lo Kabil Alei, Achrayis Didei Mi Lo Kabil. Granted, he didn't want to accept Achrayis for his mother confiscating the field, but Achrayis for himself taking the field away, that certainly is assumed that he's Mekabel such an Achrayis. That it's got to be that he's Mekabel an Achrayis when he himself takes away the field. That has to be part of the deal. Amar Rami Bar Chama, similar case. Case number two. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Reuven Shemachar Sadal Shimon Shalab Achrayis. Reuven sells a field to Shimon without any Achrayis L'chasim, meaning that he's without any Achrayis to pay it back if it ever gets confiscated from Shimon. Vasa Shimon Umachar L'Reuven Ba'Achrayis. Shimon turns around and sells that field back to Reuven. Whenever, whether it's right away or sometime later, probably sometime later, he sells it back to Reuven, and Shimon accepts Achrayus, that if Reuven, if this field ever gets taken away from you by any of my balichov, or by anybody, I'm going to reimburse you for the field. Now, when Reuven had sold it to Shimon, Reuven did not make any such agreement to pay back Shimon if the field gets confiscated from Shimon, but Shimon was selling it back to Reuven with Achrayus. Va'asa balchov de Reuven, and there's a balchov, there's someone that Reuven owed money to from before he ever sold the field in the first place to Shimon in the first place. V'katarif lemine, and that balchov of Reuven now comes and takes the field away from Reuven. Reuven's the one that owes him money, so he goes to Reuven and he takes that field from Reuven. Dina hu da azul Shimon umafzile. The halacha is that Shimon would have to go and reimburse Reuven, because when Shimon sold this field to Reuven, he said, if it ever gets confiscated from you, I'm going to pay you back. So now it got confiscated from Reuven, he's going to have to pay him back. Amale Rava, Rava said, no. Nihida chrayis di alma kabla lei. Achrayus de nafshe mi kabel alei. Granted, Shimon was accepting achrayus if it gets confiscated from Reuven by anybody else. But if it gets confiscated by Reuven because of Reuven's own chovos, why is that going to be Shimon's fault? Shimon was never accepting achrayus if the reason it gets confiscated from Reuven was because of Reuven's own chovos. If you look at Rashi, that dino who does el Shimon umafzile kishem sheilu machra Shimon zel leish acher ba'achrayus. Just like if Shimon would have sold it to Levi, let's say, to a third party with achrayus. Uba Balchov du Reuven Vitorfa, and the Balchov of Reuven would have come and taken it away from Levi, even though Shimon has no idea about Reuven's chovos, and Shimon has nothing to do. It's not Shimon's fault at all. It's not Shimon's chovos that are causing the field to be taken away. The halach would have been a Yishimun Mufatseu. Shimon would have had to reimburse Levi. Va'al Reuven lo yuchalachzar, and Shimon cannot come back to Reuven with any tainos because Reuven sold it to Shimon without any achrayos. Shari shalom achrayos lachem. So kach kishemach l'Reuven atzmo yifatzelo. Where Reuven Bar Chama's original thought was that the same should apply if Shimon doesn't sell to Levi, but rather sells it back to Reuven. So Rava responded that no, nihida achrayis yalma kolo orim ala shalom achmas Reuven. Kabbal alei Shimon. Shimon was willing to be mekabel anyone who's ma'arer on the field, as long as it wasn't machmas Reuven, as long as it wasn't someone that Reuven had owed money to. But if it's someone that Reuven owed money to, then for sure he's not. He was never mekabel that kind of achrayus, and Shimon does not have to reimburse Shimon. Achrayus nafshei ira habalo machmas atzmo. So that's something that comes on because of Reuven's own fault. So the girsa that we have, and the girsa of Rashi and the girsa of almost everyone is Amrle Ravan Hid Achrayis Di Alma Kabbalalei Achrayis Di Nafshei Mi Kabbalalei. That's our girsa, and the pshat is like we said. It's like we just said it over. However, the Rif has a different girsa. The Rif's girsa over here is Nihida Achrayis Di Alma Lo Kabbalalei Achrayis Di Nafshei Mi Lo Kabbalalei. That granted, the achrayus from elsewhere, he never was mekabel such achrayus, but his own achrayus, wasn't he after all mekabel his own achrayus? Now, what in the world does that girsa mean? When Shimon sold it back to Reuven, he sold it be achrayus. So what does it mean? Granted, he never was mekabel achrayus from the alma, from outside. He was. Shimon was mekabel the achrayus from everything. It was Reuven, when he first sold it to Shimon, that was not mekabel achrayus. So what exactly does this girsa mean? The Rambam in the 19th parak of Hilchos Mechira and the Ran in the Dapei Arif and Gimel and Beis explain that the Taina, the Anunim Beis rather than Dapei Arif, explain that the Taina is shaykh to the, this Taina is shaykh to the first Mechira. When Reuven sold it to Shimon, Reuven sold it to Shimon, Shaloba Achrayus. So Reuven's coming and he's saying, granted, I was not mekabel achrayus klape Shimon, and if the bali chovos of Shimon would have come to take it from Shimon, then he certainly can't come to and if his bali chovos would have come to, if Reuven's bali chovos would have come to Shimon and taken it from Shimon, so he could not, Shimon could not get reimbursed from Reuven. But achrayus de nafshe, meaning if Shimon goes and sells it back to Reuven, the karka, he sells the karka back to Reuven, and his, and now Reuven's bali chovos come and collect it from him, so that for sure Reuven is mekabel that he's not going to go to Shimon to collect from him. Meaning when Reuven's bali chovos come to Reuven in the first place, he could say, "Go take it from Shimon. I want you to go take it from Shimon." And Reuven accepted not to that he's not going to be responsible for that. But once it gets sold back to him, that's called achrayis nafshei. If Shimon goes and sells it back to Reuven, and his bali chovos take it from Reuven himself, so Reuven was mekabel not to go to Shimon to collect that. Meaning that level of achrayus, when he brought it back from Shimon, he's not expecting that level of achrayus to get reimbursed from Shimon. That's how the Rambam and the Ran seem to explain the girsa of the Rif. So there is another explanation. The Rush has a slightly different explanation, but let's leave it at that. So the third case now, says the Gemara, however, Umode Rava, but Rava is Mode. Beruvain sheyarash sada miYaakov. Let's say Reuven inherited the field from Yaakov. Umachra l'Shimon. And then Reuven took that field that he inherited from Yaakov, his father, and he sells it to Shimon. It could get confusing because we're using names that we know to be siblings with each other, but these aren't siblings. Meaning Yaakov is in fact Reuven's father. That's how he inherited the field. But Shimon is not Reuven's brother for the sake of this case. So Reuven inherited a field from Yaakov, and then he sold it to Shimon. Stam a guy. He sold it to some other guy. Shalom ba'achrayus, without accepting any achrayus. So if it ever gets confiscated from Shimon, Reuven is not on the hook to pay Shimon back. Va'asa Shimon, and then Shimon went umachr l'Reuven b'achrayus and sold it right back to Reuven with achrayus. Va'asa balchov de Yaakov. So the balchov now of Yaakov, someone that Yaakov had owed money to, Reuven's father had owed money to, v'katarif le'minei, and takes it away from Reuven. Then even Rava would be moda that dinu hu da'azil Shimon umafzi le'minei, that Shimon does have to reimburse Reuven for the field that was just confiscated from him. My time, Balchov de Yaakov ka Balchov de Alma Dami. Because the Balchov of Yaakov is like a Balchov of somebody else. It's like someone that Reuven had no relationship with. Granted, when Shimon sold the field back to Reuven b'Achrayus, he never intended to accept the Achrayus of Reuven's Balchov, but this wasn't Reuven's Balchov. This was a Balchov of Reuven's father, Yaakov, and that had nothing to do with Reuven, and therefore Reuven has every right to get reimbursed from Shimon. What would be the Hava Mina otherwise? So Rashi points out that Velo Amrinan de Reuven Kari Davuahu Vachrayis de Reuven Lo Kibel Ale Shimon. That one might have said that Reuven is just an extension of his father, and therefore it's considered the same thing as a Balchov of Reuven. So that's the Chiddush, that Rava would be Moda in this case, because Reuven is not considered to be an extension of his father. Reuven is considered to be a different party from Yaakov, and therefore it's just like anyone else coming and confiscating the field from Reuven. Case number four now. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says as follows. Reuven shemachar sadel Shimon be'achrayus. Reuven sells the field to Shimon with achrayus. So Reuven, if it ever gets confiscated from Shimon, Reuven is going to pay Shimon back for this field. He sells the field to Shimon. But here's the wrinkle. V'zakaf alav b'milva. Instead of Shimon paying for the field up front, Shimon doesn't pay at all. He mortgages it. He takes a loan that's even in the mortgage. He doesn't pay at all. Reuven gets no money. Shimon just says, I'm going to owe you the money. It's as if I'm borrowing all the money to pay for the field. He's going to owe the money directly to Reuven. And then, umes Reuven, Reuven dies, and keep in mind, Reuven has still not gotten paid for this field. He's promised that if it ever gets taken away from Shimon, he's going to reimburse Shimon, but he hasn't gotten paid yet for the field. Vas a balchov de Reuven v'katar flami Shimon, and a balchov of Reuven comes and takes the field away from Shimon, upaisei bezuze, and then he gives him some money to satisfy him. Meaning, what Shimon did is that when the Balchov came to collect the field, he gave him money instead of giving him the field. So dinuhu da amri le b'nei Reuven. So the b'nei Reuven. So now, what's Shimon's taina? Shimon's taina is going to be that I gave money and that's it. And now that money is the payment for the field. Meaning this was money that I should have paid to purchase the field, so I should have paid it to Reuven, but since Reuven anyway had Balichov that were coming to take the field from me, so I took the money that was the purchase price of the field, and I just gave it to the Balichov, and now we're all even. That's what Shimon wants to taina. So the halacha is, dinahu da'ami le b'nei Reuven. Rami Bar Chama says that the halacha is that the b'nei Reuven can say to Shimon, anan mitaltuli shavak avun gabach. You owed our father money, and therefore you owed us money, because we are the Yarshim of our father. Halacha is that if a Balchov of our father comes and wants to take money from us, he's not allowed to take money from us. He can only take karka from us. So you cost us a lot of money over here. Had you given us the money, we would have, had you given us the money that you owed for the field, the Balchov never would have been able to take anything from us, because all we have is cash, and he's not allowed to take cash. He's not allowed to take metaltalim. He's only allowed to take karka. And then he would have gone and he would have collected the field from you, maybe, but that's That's a different issue. He never would have been able to take this money from us. Now you cost us that money by never giving it to us and just by paying him that metaltalim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Ipikeach idach, if Shimon wants to be Ipikeach, here's what he should do. Magvilu na'alayu ara v'hadu gavila minayim. That he should give them field. He should give them a field to when the Yisomim want to be paid. He should give them karka that's worth the value of whatever he owes them for the field, and then collect it for the achrayus of their father. Meaning, what happens is Shimon had purchased a field from Reuven, and there was achrayus in the field. Now Reuven's balei chov are coming to take from Shimon. So what Shimon should do is he should pay for the field by giving karka to the yarshim, and then when the field that Shimon had purchased gets confiscated from Shimon, he now has achrayus. He should be able to go to the yarshim and take back the field that he gave to them as payment, and that way he can see to it that his achrayus is taken care of, that his achrayus nechasim is taken care of and he'll turn out even that he'll have paid for the field by giving up the field, but he'll get back everything that he had laid out on his own. So if he's smart, that's what he would do. Rav Nachman, and this is in line with what Rav Nachman holds. Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Yisom shegavu karka b'chovas avihen, b'alchov choze b'gavu osamehen, that if Yisomim collect karka for the father's chov, so b'alchov can come and collect that karka from them. If they were to collect money, the b'alchov would not be able to collect from them, but karka, the b'alchov would be able to collect from them. So as long as he keeps it all in land and not in cash, Shimon could break even over here by paying for the field in land only, and that would be a wise choice for Shimon. Now Tosos in Dibur Maskul Reuven and Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis, the bottom Tosos over there raises the question that the Iker Din of Rami Bar Chama is that we don't consider that the Piraon that Shimon paid to the Balchov of Reuven is as if he gave the Bnei Reuven the Dmei Karka, right? We don't view it that when Shimon gives money to the Balechov of Reuven who come to collect, that it's as if he gave Reuven's Yorshim themselves the value of the Karka, because if the Balechov would have come to the Bnei Reuven, they would not have had to pay him because they were not Yorish any Karka from their father, and Metaltlin are not Meshubatu Balechov. So cash they wouldn't have had to pay because that is Din of Metaltlin. So similarly, Shimon should not have given the Dmei Mekach that he owed to the Bnei Reuven for the Piron Achov. So why does the Gemara say that Reuven sold the field to Shimon Ba'achrayus? Even if the field was sold without Achrayus, the same, it's not Nogeh at all. The point over here is not the Achrayus. The point is that Shimon owes money for the field. The Yarshim don't have to pay any money to Balchov. The Yarshim only have to pay fields to a Balchov. So Shimon should have given the money to the Yarshim instead of giving the money to the Balchov. The whole Chiddush of Rami Bar Chama is whether it's with Achrayus or Shalom Ba'achrayus. Not only that, Tosfos says further, why does Rami Bar Chama have to say V'zakfan alav b'milva? What does that have to do with anything? The fact that Shimon hasn't paid for the field and now he's turned it into a loan, that it's as if he borrowed money from Reuven. Let's say he didn't turn it into a loan. He just hasn't paid for the field. Isn't that the same thing? Well, how does that change the case at all that he was zakef alav b'milva? So those are the two kashas that Tosfos asks. So Tosfos has a couple of approaches. One answer that Tosfos gives is that if he was not zakef alav b'milva, then the money that's the Dmei HaMekach is considered to be a mashkon by Shimon for the chi of achrayus, and the Bnei Reuven are not able to come and claim to Shimon that anan metaltli shavak avun gabach, that our father left metaltlin by you, because the money is not considered to be in their rishus at all. And that's why Rabbi Chama Dafka has to say that he's machab achrayus, that then the Bnei Reuven could come to Shimon only when it's zakef lav b'milva, where it's considered that the money is metaltlin b'yadam. But if the mechir was not with achrayus, the Bnei Reuven would have been toveya from Shimon even if it wasn't zakef lav b'milva, meaning the two play off of each other. It's only because zakef Zakov Lov B'milva that the Achrayis becomes important. If it was not Zakov Lov B'milva, then the Achrayis Nuchasim would not be important. That also says another possibility. When it says Zakov B'milva, that's because if it was not Zakov Lov B'milva and he still hadn't paid for it, then the Mechira just wasn't Chal yet. The whole Mechira wouldn't be a valid Mechira. That's what the Ran writes as well. When he says Shemacha B'Achrayis, it's because if he sold it Shalom B'Achrayis, the din would be that Shimon would not have to pay to the Baal Chov of their father, and that's why it has to mention Achrayus, because Shimon now has an obligation to take care of that Baal Chov because there is Achrayus Nechasim. But the reason it has to say Zakvel of B'milva is otherwise it's not really a sale, it's not a binding sale. If it was just never paid for and there were no arrangements made as to how it would be paid, but once it's Zakvel of B'milva, so that's that's an arrangement for how this is, what the plan is going forward of how this is going to be paid. Now, the Rava had suggested, well, if he's a pikeach, if Shimon is smart, and he wants to do something that he'll break even, he should just give back land instead of money. So the Rishonim meaning he should give land straight to the Arshim. So the Rishonim say, well, manavshach, if Shimon doesn't have any cash, if he doesn't have any money, so it's not pikchus to give the Yisom karka. That's all he's got. So it's all he's going to be able to give the Yisom his karka, because that's his chiyuv. And if he does have money, what do you mean he's a pikeach to give them karka? That's illegal. He's not allowed to give karka when he has money. When you buy a field, you can't pay back with karka. When you buy a field, you're supposed to pay with cash. And if you don't have any cash, so then the guy can collect karka. But that's not okay. If I'm selling something for cash, I'm supposed to get cash. So that's what the Rishonim all raise the question. Tosus in Dibra Maschil Ipikeach, right? This is the assumed question of that Tosos. So Tosos suggests that you see from here that din of a Baal Chov, wherever he has money, he has to give the money, and he's not allowed to pay back the karka. But if the loaf is going to have some sort of loss by paying back money, then he's allowed to be parea bekarka. Then he's allowed to pay back with karka, and that's not considered shalom kedin. Normally, when I borrow money, I have to make sure that I pay back with money. I don't pay back with karka. But if that's going to spell a loss for me to pay back with money and not with karka, then I'm allowed to pay back with karka. So that's the pikchus. So since over here, if the lover would pay back with money, he would lose out because he's not going to be able to come and collect his chiyuv, so he could pay his chov instead with karka. That's considered the great pikchus. Now, why is it that he's able to pay back with karka if it's going to be a loss of money to him? So the Ktos explains, because the whole din that he has to pay dafka bezuze, that he has to pay dafka with money, must not be a din daraisa, it's a takanas chachamim. So heimam ruvheimam, with the chamur masakin that he has to pay back with cash, and if he doesn't have any cash, the chamur if it's going to be a loss for him, the chamur never made such a takana. The nesivus disagrees. The nesivus thinks that it's a din daraisa that you have to pay back with cash, so he would have to explain Tosos differently than that. But that's the maskana that Tosos arrives at. The Ravid is quoted by several Rishonim as having a different approach over here of what the pikchus is in dafka paying back with karka. He says that over here, because this malva comes because of the karka that he bought, so he's able to be machzir the karka to them, as opposed to any other chov, which is because of a halvaz damin, meaning normally when someone comes to collect, it's because they borrowed money, it was about a monetary transaction, so you have to pay back with money. But over here, the whole reason he owed money was because of karka, was because he had taken karka, so that's, it's only in that case that you're allowed to choose to pay back karka, rather than to choose to pay back money. The Ktzos is medayik this way from the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Lefichach im hayashimon pikeach nosalem hakarka shalakach miruvein." He can give to them the karka that he purchased from Ruvain. So it sounds like it's dafka, that karka, that he's able to pay back with. But any other karka, he would not be able to pay back with. Why not? Because the whole heter to give karka rather than to give money was the fact that it was all a transaction that involved karka to begin with. But that's the kasha that the Rishonim deal with over here. There are other approaches as well in Rishonim, but those are a couple of the basic approaches. In the next case in the Gemara, about six lines before the end of the page, case number five for today. Amar Rabba, Reuven Shemachar Kol Sados of L'Shimon. If Reuven sells all of his fields to Shimon, V'chazah Shimon U'machar Sada Achas L'Levi. Shimon then turns around and sells one of those fields to Levi. V'asa Balchov de Reuven, someone that Reuven owed money to comes, and he wants, and Reuven doesn't have any money or any fields left to collect from, so he's obviously going to go to whoever has those fields. Well, does he have to go to Shimon because Shimon was the next one down the line? Or can he go even to Levi, even though Shimon still has some of the fields that he bought from Reuven? Does he have to go to Shimon, or can he go to Levi as well? So halacha is, Ratzemi Zegova. He can go to whichever one he's interested in going to. He can go to Shimon, or he can go to Levi. He can collect from whichever one he wants. V'lo Amron el dezavna beninus. But that's only if what Shimon sold to Levi is a beninus, because the Balchov is supposed to collect from beninus. So he can say, I'm going to go to Levi and collect from him because that's the field that I'm supposed to get. Aval zavna idus v'ziburis matziyam leilach itarchi zvini arid v'lachazilach. But if what Shimon sold to Levi was an idus or a ziburis, and Shimon himself hung on to the beninus, so then Levi can say, look, I was very careful not to buy the beninus because I knew that there were chavos, and you're really entitled to collect from the beninus, so go collect from Shimon, don't come collecting from me. And even when he sold beninus to Levi, and the Balchov wants to collect from the beninus, he can only do so if there was no beninus still by Shimon. But if Levi bought beninus, but Shimon still had some beninus, then Levi can say, you know what? Don't collect from me. The reason that you should collect from Shimon because I was careful to make sure that Shimon still had some beninus when I bought this beninus field from Shimon. So that should be your first address to go to. He was the one that was closest to Reuven. He's the one that bought it from Reuven. So you shouldn't schlep all the way to me to come to Levi to collect the field. Now Rashi over here points out that when the reason Ratzemi Zegova is a chiddush is one might have thought one of two things. Either you would think it doesn't make a difference, you can collect from whoever it is. Once it's not Reuven, so it doesn't matter who has the field. Neither of them, once you're collecting from the Chasim Shubadim anyway, you're not collecting from the guy that owes you the money, so it shouldn't make a single ounce of difference, and you can collect whatever from whomever. That would have been one Havamina. The other Havamina is the other extreme, is to say, well, Shimon bought all of Reuven's fields. So as far as the Balchov is concerned, Shimon is now become Reuven. What's the halacha if Reuven still has fields of any kind? Idus, beninus, ziburus. If Reuven still has fields, you're not allowed to go to Lukuchos and collect from people who have purchased things from Reuven if Reuven still has fields. So one might have thought that Shimon becomes Reuven by buying all of Reuven's fields, and therefore you can never go to Levi. As long as Shimon still has something, Shimon is Reuven in your eyes. So you have to go and collect only from Shimon, no matter what kind of field he sold to Levi. So that's the chiddush, that the halacha lies somewhere in between. That Shimon's not exactly Reuven, but he's not the same as Levi either. And therefore, your first address to go to is Shimon, but only insofar as Shimon has a beninus to give you. If Shimon doesn't have a beninus to give you, the right kind of field to give you, then you're allowed to go to Levi to collect a field from Levi. That's one point that Rashi makes. It seems Tosos Ratzemi Zegov and makes the same point on the bottom. The Avagav Damrin and Einavarim in Nechasim Shabbatim Malkum Sheish Nechasim B'nei Charin. Even though if Reuven were to have fields, you would have to collect from Reuven no matter what kind of field it is. V'afilu Ein Ziburis, even if it was just Ziburis, Hachashayni Dalaka B'nei Charin Klal. Over here, it's different because Reuven doesn't have any fields. He doesn't own anything. It's all Shimon's. V'kulu Mishubadim Ninhu Sharize Habalchov B'mikach Reuven. And they're all considered to be Nechasim Mishubadim. This Balchov is coming B'chov Mikach Reuven, not Mikach Shimon. So Tosa seems to be saying the same exactly as Rashi. Shittim Gwetzes points that out, that it's a little bit strange, that it's unusual for Tosos to just say exactly to be chozer mefarish pirush Rashi, to say exactly what Rashi says. In fact, Rashi is even longer. Usually, Tosfos at least will say it in a few more words. Rashi is in even more words. So Shinu Gwetzes points out that you have to say Tosfos is adding something that Rashi didn't add over here. So he tries to work that out. He tries to figure out what Tosfos might be adding that Rashi didn't actually say. The other point between Tosfos and Rashi, that's actually a point of contention between Tosfos and Rashi, when Reuven sold all of his fields to Shimon, does it have to be that he sold it all at one shot? That he sold all of his fields all together at one time? So Rashi says, Kol Sodosav Bishtar Echad, that he sold it all in one shtar. De Bishnei Shtaros Ein Govin Milevi Elim Kein Lakach Mishimon Oso Shlakach Miruvein Ba'achrona. If Shimon had slowly purchased all of Reuven's fields, buying one, then the other, then the other, then there would be no way he'd be allowed to go to Levi unless the field that Levi purchased is the last one that Shimon had bought from Reuven. If it was the last one Shimon had bought from Reuven, well, then that was the last one that wasn't Nechasim Meshubadim, meaning the last one left, that was the last one standing, that wasn't Nechasim Meshubadim, then you'd be able to to go to Levi. But otherwise, he would not be able to go to Levi. Tosfos disagrees in the first wide line. He says, "V'lo nihira l'Rebbe, d'matzi Shimon l'memer le my time amar rabbanan ein in front of mechasim mishpadim malkum sheish bnei chorin." What's the whole reason you have to go to mechasim bnei chorin before you go to mishpadim afilu ein ziburus mishum takana de lokech rishon? It's all because of the takana of the lokech. Ano b'hach takanta lo nichali. Well, I am the lokech, and I'd rather not have that takana where you're going to come and collect the field from me. I'd rather you go to Levi. So go to Levi and take it from him. So that's the discussion, Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos. Vayter, last case of, or there are seven cases. So the second last case of the day, case number six, Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachah Sadal Shimon, two lines on the top on Tzav Beis and Beis, Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachah Sadal Shimon, Reuven sold the field to Shimon, Be'achrayos, with Achrayos, Va'asa Balchov de Reuven Ve'katar Flaminei, and now Reuven's Balchov comes and takes it away from Shimon, Dinu Hu Da'azel Reuven Umafzilei. So Reuven is obviously going to be responsible for it. Reuven sold the field to Shimon Ba'achrayus, so he has to pay for it. V'lomatzi Amalei Lav Bal Dvarim Didi. But what Reuven's responsible for, but what Reuven could do is Reuven could go to the Balchov directly if he has any sort of argument with the Balchov himself to say, you know what, you're my Balchov, but you also owe me money, and not only do I owe you money, or I want you to, or I already paid back the Chov, and I want you to swear that I already paid it back. So what's happening over here is Reuven sold the field to Shimon. The Balchov is coming to Shimon and saying, Shimon, give me the field. Reuven is allowed to pipe up and say, Shimon, don't give him anything. I already paid this guy back. Let him swear that I didn't pay him back, or he owes me money, and let the chovos cancel each other out. The Balchov cannot say to Reuven, Lav bal dvarim didiat. Yeah, I'm not bothering you. I'm bothering Shimon. I'm asking Shimon for the field. So stay out of it. Mishum damrle de mafkad minei alai hadar. Because Reuven could say, what do you think? You're gonna take the field away from Shimon, but I sold the Bachrayas to Shimon. Shimon's gonna come right after me. And I don't have any answer to Shimon if he comes after me, but I have an answer to you, so let me deal with you right now at the ground level. The ikadamri, others say afilu shaloba achrayas nami. Even if Reuven had sold the field to Shimon, shaloba achrayas, Reuven has the right to defend Shimon before it ever gets confiscated and to say, I don't really owe you the money. You have no right to take it away from Shimon. Damrle lo nichli ditavile Shimon taruma salai. Granted, I'm not going to lose any money at the end of the day because I sold the shaloba achrayas, so I was careful, so I'm not going to have to pay Shimon back any money. But I don't want Shimon to have tainas on me that I sold him a lemon, that I sold him a field that then gets confiscated from him. And the final case, Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachah sold to Shimon Shaloba Achrayus. Reuven sells the field to Shimon without any Achrayus. V'yatzuol of Asikin. And now someone comes and claims that the field never belonged to Reuven in the first place. Now Shimon's interest over here is to make it as if the sale never happened, as if the Mekach never happened, and then he could get his money back and pretend this whole story never happened. If the Mekach ever happened and Shimon loses the field, he's out of luck because he can't. It was Shalom Ba'achrayus. So Ad Shalom Hichzik Ba'yachol Lachzerbo. Until Shimon makes a chazak in the field, he could still be closer on the purchase, and the whole purchase will be cancelled, and Shimon will get off scot-free. You won't have to worry about anything. But Misha Hichzikba, once Shimon already made a chazak in the field, Eino Yachalachzibo, he can no longer back out. Misham Damalei Chaisa Dikitri, Savris Vekabilis. Reuven said, look, fields come with headaches sometimes, so you bought a bag full of nuts. It looks like a bag full of nuts. It's a bag that looks like it's full, so it looks like it has something valuable in there, but it's got all sorts of issues. You know, sometimes you buy a house and you bought headaches. You bought a lot of headaches. There are a lot of issues. that come with it. So you bought it, and you bought a field that has a lot of headaches. When do we say that Shimon is considered to be muchzak in the field, where he can no longer back out of the sale? It's once he goes along the borders, once he tramples along the borders, that's considered to be the chazaka. Some say it's even if he bought it with Achrayus. Where Reuven could say to Shimon, look, if Beis Din actually allows this guy to take the field from you, then we'll talk. But until Beis Din writes a shtar where this person is authorized to take the field from you, the Achrayus doesn't kick in. So granted, I agree to pay you back if it gets confiscated from you. I did not agree to pay you back just because you can have some headaches. You may have some headaches in keeping it, but once it gets confiscated, then we'll talk. Tosus is bothered. Why did the Gemara interrupts this discussion with Ume Emas Machzikba? At what point is considered to be a chazaka? Are we not familiar with the Mishnah? No, Gadar parts Kolshu Arezu Chazaka, where the Mishnah describes how to make a kinyan on karka, that the way to make a kinyan chazaka on karka is by Na'al Gadar Parat, by making some improvement in the land. So he says, over here the chazaka is assuming that he already paid money. So if he already paid money, the chazaka is going to be a lesser, you don't even need Na'al Gadar Parat. We're saying that even a lesser form of kinyan is enough. And that's why it says, Mechidai Shamitzri, even if he wasn't Na'al Gadar Parat, he just walked along the borders. Once he paid money for it as well, so that's enough to finalize the chazaka, to finalize the kinyan. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.